Let us pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit so that we may become a habitation for your presence among us. Grant us courage and strength to be a church that welcomes and desires only to serve and share you with others. Make us such a holy place and a holy people that we become a beacon of hope for the lost, the unloved, and the seekers. Pour your supernatural grace into every part of our corporate life so that we bend to your will and live for your glory. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a child and a teenager, I went to various camps. And one of my first jobs was a camp counselor at Bolton, Ontario, a government-run camp for disadvantaged children. And part of our training was leading the singing. And singing camp songs was a great way to build fellowship and camaraderie. And 50 years ago, many of the songs were Christian-based. And at meals, I remember we sang the Johnny Appleseed Grace. But one of my favorite songs was Climbing Jacob's Ladder. Today, I'm not sure that kids would learn that song with its references to Jesus and being soldiers of the cross. The song from our Old Testament text tells the story of a fantastic dream or vision of God that Jacob received as he fled from the wrath of his brother Esau. And we remember that story from last week, that Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. In the dream that he has at Bethel, Jacob saw earth and heaven become transparent, like the thin places described by the Celtic saints. He saw the angels of the Lord going up and down the stairway. The Lord stood at the top of the stairway and spoke to Jacob. We don't know whether Jacob actually saw the Lord, but he heard the words of promise. I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. God then makes the same covenant with Jacob that he had made to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. God promised land. He promised descendants. He promised that all nations would be blessed through him. And he promised that he would never abandon Jacob, what would bring him back safely to this place. God took Jacob from a place of despair to a place of divine possibilities and attainable dreams. Few of us will ever experience the magnitude and intensity of Jacob's dream. Yet, dreams and visions are channels by which God's presence and power are released into lives. Dreams and visions are used to change the direction of nations and individuals alike. Many centuries later, about 5,000, God gave a dream to a Baptist minister who on August 28, 1963, at the Lincoln Memorial in front of a civil rights gathering, gave the now famous I Have a Dream speech. This speech galvanized millions of people with its hopeful message of truth and freedom and the end to bigotry and racism. God used this man to change the hearts and minds of men and women everywhere, beyond the borders of America. And dreams are one of the ways that God communicates his will to us, makes known his purpose, and provides guidance and direction. And I believe that like Jacob's dream, where heaven and earth are united, we are also called to create the conditions and the climate for heaven to come down in the midst of us. And heaven responds to our unity, to our togetherness, and the love in our relationships. Our unity, our purpose, and mutual love for each other can only grow and thrive in the light of God's vision and desire for communities everywhere in the church and beyond these walls. It means understanding that it is not all about me, and it is not all about you. It is not about profit or politics or other principalities or powers. It is about God and a relationship with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes in Romans, for everything comes from him, exists by his power, and is intended for his glory. And I have a dream that our number one priority will be to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. What does this mean? It means we're all going to live together in eternity. So this is the time we are given to learn how to get along right now. And it's not enough just to love God. We must love the church and all who are in it, despite our differences. And I have a dream that in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, love and unity will be far more important than personal differences in the family of God. We are living stones in friendship, being built together for a habitation, a home for God. And a lover of Jesus Christ knows that this life is not about accumulating things. It is not about achievement. It is not about popularity. It is learning how to love. And if we miss that, then we miss the most important life lesson. The most important thing is to love God, and the second is to love our neighbors. There is no one on the earth that we are not allowed to love. And that means loving those who are difficult, different, and yes, downright ornery. And this is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And it's so easy to love people who agree with you. It's so easy to love those people who are cool. It's so easy to love those people who are just like you. But boy, it's tough to love those people who push our buttons, who drive us crazy because we never seem to be on the same page. They just don't get it. But every soul is worthwhile. Every soul is valuable. And like it or not, we are committed to love each other. And God's dream is that our lives are so changed from the inside out that God can use us in mighty ways. For as Matthew writes in chapter 9, verse 29, according to our faith, it will be done for us. All things are possible for those who believe in God. And even for those who don't believe in God, it doesn't really matter because God believes in them. So God gets the most glory when I trust him with the impossible. God gets the glory when I love him with all my heart. God gets the glory when I love you and other people in the family of God. God gets the glory when I love my neighbor and the people I'm least likely to love. God gets the glory when I love my enemy and when I treat them with dignity and respect, even though they disrespect me. And God gets the glory when I share the good news with everyone and sometimes use words. God gets the glory when I trust him with problems in my life that will never be solved except through a miracle. God gets the glory when I am humble of heart. And God gets the glory when I confess that without Christ, I am nothing. I can do nothing, and nothing will change without him. And finally, God gets the glory when I give my life to the Lord to mold me, to shape me, to bend me to his will, and then change me from the inside out. And life is so short. And someday, you and I will be standing in front of the Almighty, hoping to hear these words. I've been expecting you, good and faithful servant. You love those I gave you, warts and all. Well done. Welcome home. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we're able to gather finally together, some of the body and not all of the body. But we ask, Lord, for your protection. We ask that you put your hands on everyone who's participating in this service today. And to you be the glory, now and forever. Amen.